This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It is official. The next mayor of Boston will be either Michelle Wu or Anissa Sibey-George. The two Boston city councilors were the top vote-getters in yesterday's historic preliminary election among five candidates of color and four women. It has been a cordial, substantive race, but now that we're down to two candidates who truly differ on core Boston issues and who have 48 days to make their mark, we wonder, what does last night teach us about ourselves and what should we expect from the race ahead? Well, joining us to talk about it, WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks and Boston Globe reporter Megan Irons. Anthony, Megan, welcome back.
Hi.
Hi, Tiziana. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Anthony. Hi, Tiziana. Nice to be here again.
I'm so glad to have you back. I've been looking forward to this because we last spoke with the two of you last Thursday before WBUR's mayoral debate. A lot has happened since then, including the primary. So I want to start, Anthony, with what you made of the results. You know, did anything surprise you? The numbers were slow to come in, but as we've gotten more, what's piqued your interest the most?
Well, there's so much that's piqued my interest, but I mean, I guess I'll just sort of jump in with two thoughts. I mean, it's perhaps not surprising that the two at-large city councilors prevailed because they already had citywide support that the other candidates didn't. And in Wu's case, for the past two elections, she's been the biggest vote-getter on the Boston City Council. So that wasn't surprising in retrospect, and that should help her in November. I guess the other big thought that I have, too, is there's a stark difference now between these two candidates. And it wasn't always clear during the run-up to the preliminary about what the differences were between these candidates. But, you know, Wu was the darling of progressives. She was endorsed by Elizabeth Warren. She's running on a progressive platform talking about a citywide Green New Deal. And already Sibey-George is saying, you know what, the mayor of Boston can't mandate rent control. You know, the mayor of Boston can't make the tea free. So I think there's going to be a stark choice between a young progressive who sort of attracts those new voters and a slightly more moderate candidate who is much more in tune with sort of older, perhaps more conservative Boston. And I think it's going to be a pretty stark choice.
So we have some sound from that, Anthony. Let's use it here. This is Anissa Sibey-George talking about what you can't do as mayor. Here she is.
The mayor of Boston cannot make the tea free. The mayor of Boston cannot mandate rent control. These are issues the state must address in partnership, and I look forward to that partnership. We do not do, and we cannot do, this work alone.
And as I turn this now to you, Megan, let's bookend that, which Anthony told us about there, with some comments from Michelle Wu to reporters this morning.
We took on issues that people said were pie in the sky, would be impossible to accomplish, but by building coalitions, working across all levels of government, and continuing to bring community members to the table, we knocked those down one by one, and so there's now a lot more to do.
So as Anthony said, Megan, real distinction there. That is one of the things we look for going forward. Other reactions from you to the results from last night?
Yeah, I mean, we all knew that if this was going to be a low turnout election, that the two candidates who have previous experiences running city council at large races would benefit from that. And we that has played out in full view for all of us to see. And that the candidates who had struggled as district councilors would struggle, and that also played out. As you would see, we learned that it is extremely difficult for Kim Janey, the candidate, to proceed with a mayoral campaign while also dealing with a lot of the myriad challenges that come with being a mayor of Boston, a city mayor of Boston. And in the end, voters just weren't really feeling that as well. Turnout was huge and it was low. And that was problematic for anybody in the city who's looking for history to be made beyond, you know, just the women of color. People in the Black community were looking for a Black person to emerge among these two candidates. That did not happen. And there's a lot of soul searching right now within the Black community about why that is so. Did Kim Janey make things much more difficult for Andrea Campbell, who had launched her campaign last fall? Or should Andrea Campbell should have dropped out of the race to allow Kim Janey to shine? Either way, for the Black community, this was a missed opportunity going forward. One of the other things I think is also going to be interesting beyond liberal and moderate is, you know, the fact that Anissa Campbell, I mean, I'm calling her the wrong name, Anissa Sabi
George. It's been a long week.
Yes. Anissa Sabi George, who's from Boston, grew up in Dorchester, can carry the Bostonian votes through November 2nd. Michelle Wu, who was born in Chicago, there's that outsider-insider thing that always plays out in Boston politics, and I'm going to be looking to see how big of a role people are going to put on that factor, whether one person is one of us, you know, somebody who's from the neighborhoods, who knows us, who knows Boston, or somebody who represents the new Boston. Michelle Wu's supporters tend to be more educated, tend to be people who are relatively newcomers to the city. Anissa Sabi George represents the old Boston. So that's going to be very interesting going forward, I think.
So, Anthony, three different themes we got from Megan there, and no particular order, where you're from becoming an issue in the race, the question of turnout from yesterday, and the fact that there were three Black candidates in this preliminary and no Black candidates in the final. I'll kind of go dealer's choice and let you pick the thread you want to follow next there.
Well, I mean, I think the question about the Black candidates not being able to move forward is huge, and it's important and it's significant. And I know there's a lot of disappointment in the Black community, and rightly so. And I think it's especially sort of fraught in Boston, given the long and sort of difficult history around race. But I also think of what Andrea Campbell said last night, and I think we have that tape where she talks about what the Black candidates managed to accomplish. And if we can listen to that here and then just talk a little bit coming out of that.
The real winner tonight was actually Black women. collectively, our vote shares surpassed all others. And what that shows is that there is an appetite indeed in this city for change. And I know my candidacy helped ignite it. And I'm proud of that.
I found that pretty moving, and Andrea Campbell ran such an energetic and such a strong campaign, and I just think she makes a really interesting point, and it got me thinking, because on the one hand, one of the narratives that might come out of this race, maybe it already has, is that Boston isn't ready, still isn't ready to elect a Black candidate, but maybe the narrative should be about the fact that there were three really strong Black candidates. I mean, we've barely talked about John Barrows. I mean, he's a really extraordinary guy with a great resume. He just couldn't go up against four other people who had constituencies, you know, baked into their campaigns because they were city councilors. But it reminded me of what happens when multiple progressives get into a race. And I'm thinking of the congressional district race, the race for District 4, Joe Kennedy's old seat. There were so many progressives in there that they split the vote, and Jake Auchincloss, a former Republican and a moderate, took that. I think back to 2000 when the progressive vote split between Ralph Nader and Al Gore, and that helped elect George W. Bush president. So this happens in politics, and it can be heartbreaking. But I don't know if I'm sort of qualified to sort of say if that's the real story, or if it's still the story, Boston isn't ready to elect a Black president. But a Black mayor. But this is what I'm thinking.
And I'll put the numbers out for listeners. So Michelle Wu had 33.38% of the vote. Anissa Sibe George 22.5%. Then you have Andrea Campbell and Kim Janey at 19.74% and 19.49%, which also just underscores how close the vote was between them. And then John Barrows at 3.2%. So almost 43% of votes cast were cast for a Black candidate. And yet, Megan, no Black candidate in the finals.
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting. I'm struggling to find the word here. Steve Pizzella, who is a pollster with Massing Poland, looked at some initial numbers, and it does give us some sense of where people were voting and for whom. In the precincts that were predominantly populated by white Bostonians, most of those votes went to Anissa Asabi-George and Michelle Wu. And in precincts where there were, you know, the white population was about 20% or less, Andrea Campbell and Kim Janey dominated in those areas. So, you know, it is one glimpse of how things broke down and where people eventually decided who they were going to vote for. And it did break along racial lines, if you look at those initial numbers. I will tell you, though, that last night I was struck by how Kim Janey and Andrea Campbell handled their losses. And I thought Andrea Campbell coming out at Prince Hall in Grove Hall before her supporters, talking about the opportunity she was given, striking a very hopeful tone, particularly about the prospects for future Black candidates, was pretty striking in comparison to Kim Janey. I was at Kim Janey's election night party and sat in the dark waiting with people for 3 hours, and she never came. And at the third hour, someone in her campaign walked around the crowd and told them that they could go home. And shortly after that, she issued her concession statement via email online in a press release. And so, I mean, I think, you know, just looking at the way they handled this, there's a lot of soul searching and introspection that's going to happen between now and November, and maybe now until the next mayor's race within the Black community, about not only being able to elevate candidates beyond the preliminary election, but creating the kind of coalition and support that's going to produce a different outcome that we see. But I think a lot of people are really hurting right now and questioning how this could happen.
So I want to look forward now, because we do have these 48 days and there's going to be a race here.
Yes.
And I want to ask you both, and Anthony, I'll start with you. We'll have you role play with the Wu campaign. First, do the gloves come off? And if you were a campaign operative for Michelle Wu right now, what would you advise her to do?
So, Tiziana, you should know political journalists make terrible campaign advisors. We get things wrong. We predict things badly. I'm uncomfortable with that assignment. But here's what I'll say. I mean, you know, I think Michelle Wu will continue doing what Michelle Wu has done. I think she's got a progressive agenda. I think she's going to push that hard. I think she's going to try to appeal to a lot of younger voters, as she has, and a lot of those newer arrivals in Boston. I mean, the opportunity for her is to try to essentially grow the electorate. That's the big sort of potential that she has, that maybe Anissa Asabi-George, who's more reliant on a more conventional old Boston, has less of an opportunity to do. So that's what she has to do. And obviously, Anissa Asabi-George is going to come after her and say this is pie in the sky stuff, and she's got to stick to her knitting and make her case as she has through the preliminary election. And my guess, I'm not saying she should do this, my guess is that that's what she'll do.
So a pretty good strategic analysis overall there from Anthony, Megan. So let me instead ask you, rather than having you sort of play the same role, let me ask you, what issues do you think are going to get really hashed out over these next 48 days?
Well, I mean, in some of the clips that you played, Anissa Asabi-George is going to be framing herself as the practical person of the two candidates, the person who is going to give you real talk and not pie in the sky dreams. She's going to be talking about education, about policing, the need. Her, she has stressed the need for more officers and for more community policing. She's also going to be talking about ensuring affordable housing and not rent control, as Michelle Wu is touting. And she's going to be talking about sort of the bread and butter issues that many Bostonians have. For the most part, the city has been humming along, you know, even in the pandemic without any major hiccups. And so I think, you know, voters are going to want to look for somebody who's not going to be trying to rock the boat too much. But what's going to also be interesting going forward as well is to see which one of these candidates will be picking up the supporters of Andrea Campbell and Kim Janey, and who, whether or not if any of these candidates will endorse the top two going forward.
All right. That is Boston Globe reporter Megan Irons, along with WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tiziana. It was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. I was glad to be able to have you back.